Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 8. In verse 11, Jesus said that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now, in those days, Israel thought that heaven was really something that belonged to them and really not to anybody else. Israel was very nationalistic, which is fine, but they were so nationalistic and so possessive of God that they thought they were the only ones that could have Him. In this thought, they started to go against God. And so Jesus is saying to them, people from all over the world are going to come and they're going to join Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, and they will sit down with them in the kingdom. You guys are going to do the same thing. You guys are going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now, that leads us to the question, what is the kingdom of heaven? Sometimes people think that the kingdom of heaven is heaven, but that's not really correct. The kingdom of heaven is not heaven itself. You could say that the kingdom of heaven is heaven's system. Just like we have a government and a system, and a lot of countries do. Well, the kingdom of heaven is a system, like a country is a system. Now, often people have a problem with certain individuals who claim the kingdom of heaven. Certain people will say they are Christians, or they will say that they are somehow in some other way connected to God. But sometimes these people aren't very godly. Sometimes these people are outright evil. And what they do can be quite evil. And other people who don't know the Bible, people who don't know much about God, will say, well, how is it that these people claim God and you claim God, and maybe I don't want anything to do with God because of the people who claim God? I was actually like that once. I loved the Bible, but I didn't like what I saw among Christians. They didn't seem sincere to me. They didn't seem like they meant it. Sometimes things about them seemed almost childish and silly to me. But then I realized that this isn't really what Christianity was about. That they were functioning in an idea they had, but not really functioning in what God said actually is. That didn't mean they were not Christians. They were Christians. But they didn't know how to live by the Word of God yet. I didn't know that because I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about Christianity. But I was turned off by that. Sometimes you will find people who claim God and they're completely evil. Don't ever be fooled by that. Don't ever wonder. There's a reason why that is allowed to happen. In Matthew 13:47, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a net. You know how fishermen have these very large fishing nets? And this net was cast into the sea and gathered every kind of fish. When it was full, the fishermen drew it to the shore and they sat down and they gathered the good fish into the vessels, into containers, but the bad fish they threw away. But the net gathered all kinds of fish, good and bad fish. Well, the kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven will attract people. And sometimes they are Christians and sometimes they are not. Sometimes they mean business with God and sometimes they do not. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But they that do the will of my Father which is in heaven, those are the ones who will enter in. Those are, if you will, the fish that were caught. They will be put in the good basket. Now, what does it mean then to do the will of the Father who is in heaven? Does it mean I'm religious? Does it mean that I have to do certain things? Does it mean that I have to keep certain traditions or practices? Well, in Matthew 5 and verse 20, Jesus said that unless your righteousness exceeds, is better than, more than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, this is very confusing at first, because the scribes and the Pharisees, those were the priests of the day. They were the religious leaders. And Jesus said, unless you have more righteousness than they do, and they practiced the law perfectly, they could tell you what every one of the laws was, and it was more than 10. Sometimes people today think it's the 10 commandments. No, there were over 400 laws given just by Moses. But then there were other laws also. For example, Ezra. Ezra introduced a system of laws in addition to Moses, because Ezra was one of the people, and he was a prophet, who went into Babylon when Israel got disciplined. Israel got in trouble. God sends them into Babylon to punish them. And Ezra is a prophet who goes with them. And he realizes, wow, we've really messed up with the law of Moses. We really did not keep things. And now we're in trouble with God. So he started to introduce more laws to kind of prevent violating Moses' laws. Ezra thought there were holes in the law which people could fall into and thereby violate the law. And so he introduced more laws to prevent that. And then even after Ezra's time, they still found problems and they introduced more laws. And the Pharisees kept all of these. But Jesus said, that's not what it's about. He says, you have to go beyond the laws. Well, how do I do that? In Romans 1:17, in this the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just will live by faith. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he says, unless you're righteousness is greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees. They tried to live by the law, and they tried to have righteousness before God because of living by the law. And Jesus said, that doesn't do the trick. That's not enough. He says, you don't need the law, you need faith. You need to believe God. Receive His word. That's where faith comes from. And then you grow in that faith. That's why it says from faith to faith. It's saying you're growing in faith, and that's how the righteousness of God is revealed. When you grow in faith, it's not so much that you have a lot of faith or a little faith. It's that you're growing in faith. That's what God is interested in. Now, in Matthew 13:24, since we now understand, okay, we're going to have all kinds of people. Some of them are right with God. Some of them are not right with God. And these people are going to be sorted out by God Himself. You don't have to worry about the fact that there are some people who are godly and some people who are ungodly, and that they are both claiming God. Don't worry about that, he says. God will sort it out. God will figure it out. God knows who's who. You don't worry about that. It'll be taken care of. You worry about living by faith. grow in faith. That's your part. Receive the Word of God so that your faith can grow. In Matthew 13:24, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares," which is like weeds, "among the wheat," bad plants. "And then he went his way. But when the plants came up and brought forth fruit, the weeds came up also. The servant said to them, 'Didn't you sow good seeds in the field? Where did the weeds come from?' And he said to them, 'An enemy did this.' And then the servant said to them, 'Well, shall we go take out the weeds?' And the man said, 'No, don't do that. Because while you're taking out the weeds, you might also take up some of the good plants, the wheat.' He said, 'Let them grow together until the harvest. And then the harvesters will separate the good plants, the wheat, from the weeds, the bad plants.'" It's like that. God will tolerate people who are ungodly coming into churches. God will tolerate people who are ungodly claiming the kingdom of God. God will tolerate people who are ungodly associating themselves with God. There's actually a very good reason why he tolerates that. In Ezekiel 33:11, God is giving these people an opportunity to get right with God. His hope is that when somebody who is ungodly comes, let's say into a church, for example, he allows that because he's hoping that being in the presence of the Word of God will change that person's heart, and that they too will become godly people, that they will get saved, that they will desire God in their life, that they will learn how to live in faith. And so what he's doing, and the reason why he waits, is to give everybody an opportunity. Because if he just took them out right then they'll never have an opportunity to get right with God. Well, everybody in the world has sinned. That means that everybody in the world makes mistakes. Everybody in the world has problems. Everybody in the world does something they should not have done. Every human being alive is like that. But God doesn't condemn them. He doesn't judge them. He gives them opportunity to receive forgiveness, to receive mercy, to receive love, to receive grace, to receive the goodness of God. And so he's very patient with them, and he allows things. And we might sometimes scratch our head, say, why does God allow this? And the reason is he wants to give them opportunity to get saved. In the end, God will sort it out. But don't be surprised when it happens. God allows it for a reason. Don't look for perfection, let's say, in churches. There is no perfect church because a church is made of people and there are no perfect people. My pastor, Pastor Stevens, he used to say, if you find the perfect church, get out now, because you will ruin it. And so, don't look for perfect churches. Don't look for perfect people. It doesn't exist. Sometimes people are angry that sinners are in churches, that not everybody in church is right with God. And it's not good to not be right with God. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying it's good. But the church is the place where people get the opportunity to learn about God, to grow. It's like being angry that sick people are in the hospital. Can you imagine somebody comes into a hospital and says, what kind of a hospital is this? There's only sick people here. Well, yeah. What did you expect? It's a hospital. It's a place for sick people. And the sick people are made better in the hospital. They get well in the hospital. Same thing with churches. Sinners come to churches and their lives are improved. Sinners come to churches and their lives are fixed by God. People who are not perfect come to churches and God gives them mercy and He lets them grow and He gives them all kinds of room to grow. Because He loves them and He cares about them, He doesn't want them to go to hell. He wants them to get to know Him. He wants them to get saved. And churches are one of the main places where that takes place. In Matthew 13:33, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven." Leaven is yeast. You know how you put yeast in bread? Or yeast in something you bake, and then you put it in the oven and it rises, and that's part of the baking process. Well, the kingdom of heaven, let's say, is like yeast. And a woman took it, and she hid 3 measures of meal. That's kind of like saying you have dough, and you put it in the oven, till the whole amount was leavened. In other words, till it all was able to rise, which is the proper function of yeast. That's kind of what the kingdom of heaven is like. People come into the kingdom of heaven and they have needs. But as they are in places like churches where they receive the word of God, where their faith is built, they increase in their faith. They increase in their ability to live with God. They increase in their understanding of God. And that's the whole point of a church. It builds your relationship to God. Yes, people will come in who are sometimes completely messed up. And that's okay. That's where things get better for them. Never fall into this thinking that, well, why are wicked people allowed? The same reason why sick people are allowed in the hospital. That's why. Because that's where things improve. That's where God works on people. The hospital is where the doctors are, and the churches is where people have the opportunity to hear the word of God and to grow in their faith so that they can have a quality life with God. In verse 44, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells everything that he has to buy that field." Okay, you have this big treasure chest, this big box of gold. You know how the pirates used to have boxes of gold? Well, imagine you find one of them in a field. Well, this guy says, "Oh my God, a box of gold. I don't want anybody to take this from me." And so he right away goes and buys the whole field. He doesn't buy just the box. Can you imagine if you went up to somebody and says, "Excuse me, I want to buy your box of gold." And the man says, "What box of gold?" "The one you have in the field." And the guy says, "What box?" And then you tell him about it. He said, "Well, that's going to cost you $100 million. And you're going to be like, "I can't afford that." But imagine you say to them, "Well, I want to buy your field. And I'm just not going to say anything about the box." And the guy says, "Okay, it'll cost you $5,000. And you can afford that." It's kind of like that. What it's saying is when we buy the field, in other words, when we enter the kingdom of heaven, it doesn't cost much. But there's a tremendous treasure in the kingdom of heaven. And God wants to give us that treasure. In Matthew 6:33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. This is how we buy the field. Seek first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, remember that means faith that comes by hearing, and all these things will be added unto you. That's where the treasure is. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's buying the field. Receive the word of God so that you can grow in faith. And everything that is in that field, everything that is the kingdom of heaven, everything that is the plan of God, everything that is a relationship that you have with God, that is added unto you. The plan of God includes every detail of your life, even details that you might not think about. Details like jobs. Details like friends, and maybe if you get married. Details like places. Also the details of what God will use you to do to make the kingdom of heaven available to other people as well. That's all in the field. If you want to be great in this kingdom, that is to say, if you really want to be successful with the kingdom of heaven, and trust me, you do, there's a lot of benefit in being successful in the kingdom of heaven. And a lot of that benefit is here and now, and a lot of that benefit is going to come when we get to heaven. Both. If you want that success in the kingdom of heaven, in Matthew 18:4, it requires humility. He says, humble yourself as a little child, and then you will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility is the characteristic that makes you very, very successful in the kingdom of heaven. So what is humility? Sometimes people think humility is that I don't think too much of myself. That's not humility. That's a bad self-image. No, humility is when I agree with God. That's the bottom line. That's humility. When I agree with God, I find humility. And then I can be very successful in the kingdom of heaven, and I can have all that the kingdom of heaven offers me. You guys understand that?